All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I would like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on November 19th, 2025?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. I will now call on Eric Enderlin to present the president's report.
Thank you, Anne Marie Santiago. We really appreciate you joining us today as chair and as acting commissioner at HPD. I'm going to keep my remarks brief as we're convening this meeting of the board in place of an audit committee meeting in order to present HDC's 2025 financial statements and annual investment report for approval. I'd like to welcome our board members, especially those joining us for the first time. So Jeff and Sharif, thank you so much for being here. And thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. We're very much look forward to working together in the year ahead and seeing you all again at our regularly scheduled spring board meeting. I'd like to note for the record that our vice chair, Mr. Harry Gould, is joining us virtually. And while virtual participation by a board member is rare, it is permitted today in accordance with the New York State Open Meetings Law. So Harry, thank you as well for your attendance today remotely. Turning to today's agenda, HDC's vice chair and controller Chuck Yu will present the 2025 financial statements and will request your approval after the team from Ernst & Young presents their 2025 audit report. Ellen Duffy, executive vice president for capital markets and investments, will then present the annual investment report for your approval. And while today's agenda is short, it represents a tremendous amount of work by our accounting team over the past year. I want to extend my sincere thanks to the entire team for their continued commitment to ensuring that this work is completed to the highest standard. And with that, I'd like to turn it back to our chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. I call on Chuck Yu to present the corporation's fiscal year 2025 financial report.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you all for being here today. The corporation had another successful year in fiscal year 2025. HDC's financial performance reached another new high with $33 billion in total assets under management. Despite an uncertain economic environment, the corporation continued issuing bonds, demonstrating its strength. The corporation continues its commitment to creating and preserving affordable housing in the city and its ongoing support of the city's housing initiatives. The corporation successfully issued a total of $2.1 billion in bond series and won $289.7 million in FFB series for a combined total of $2.4 billion. Under the Enterprise Fund financial reporting during FY 2025. The proceeds from these bonds were utilized to provide financing for both new construction and rehabilitation loans, resulting in $1.4 billion in new commitments, further strengthening the corporation's role in addressing the demand for affordable housing. Additionally, the corporation committed $165.7 million in subsidy loans, financed with a combination of corporate reserves and bond proceeds. HDC also continued its commitment to the NYCHA PAC program by financing three additional projects this year, bringing the total bonds issued under the PAC bond resolution to $1.9 billion since its inception in February 2020. During this fiscal year, HDC adopted GASB 103, Financial Reporting Model Improvement, which requires bond interest expense to be classified as a non-operating expense. As such, the bond interest expense and related financing costs were reported under the non-operating expense section of the statement of the revenue and expense. Other highlights of the fiscal year 2025 financial statements include total revenues of the corporation increased to $1.4 billion an increase of $79.3 million from fiscal year 2024. Net operating income was $954.6 million, mainly due to interest earnings on mortgage loans. Operating expenses were $75.7 million, an increase of $7.7 million, or 9.7% from a year ago. Non-operating expenses were $227.6 million, an increase of $75.1 million from fiscal year 2024. The increase in non-operating expenses was driven by normal increase in bond interest expense from a growing bond portfolio and lower non-operating revenues, including reduced recapture of realized investment losses and lower receipts from the Battery Park City agreement. Realized investment earnings continued to perform well at $205.1 million, up from $161 million in fiscal year 2024. Total assets and deferred outflows increased to $33 billion, an increase of $4.2 billion, or 14.6% from fiscal year 2024. The increase was primarily a result of the corporation's continued strong mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year. The mortgage loan portfolio, which comprises 75.5% of total assets, was $24.9 billion, an increase of $2.8 billion, or 12.8% from previous year. Total liabilities were $27.2 billion, an increase of $3.5 billion, or 14.5% from fiscal year 2024. The largest liabilities were bonds and debt obligations outstanding at $16.1 billion. A net increase of $1.5 billion from fiscal year 2024. 18 new bond series were issued, totaling $2.1 billion during this fiscal year. The next largest liability were the Section 661 grant funds from HPD at $7.9 billion, an increase of $1.6 billion from a year ago. The corporation's total net position was $5.6 billion, representing an increase of $747 million, or 15.4% from the previous fiscal year. The growth was due to normal operating activities and higher investment income, driven by an increasingly large investment portfolio. This concludes my remark, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Hearing no questions, move on. Thank you. I call on Lou Roberts and Rob Heffelman to present the Ernst & Young audit reports for fiscal year 2025.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Lou Roberts, the engagement partner, and next to me is Rob Heffelman, the senior manager. If I could turn your attention to the executive summary on page one of the PowerPoint presentation. I'll just go through summary and then Rob will go through the remaining slides. He'll cover the areas of emphasis. So that would be the significant accounts that we spend quite a bit of time of our focus on, as well as the required communications that we're required to present to those charged with governance in accordance with the AICPA, which is the American Institute of Certified CPA. With that, as part of our audit, we looked at any significant accounting matters. Chuck had spoken about the implementation of the GASB 103, which really was a reclassification of the interest income and bond issuance costs on the statement of revenues and expenses. There were no issues noted with the implementation of that accounting standard. There were no, we say material corrected, but there were no corrected or uncorrected misstatements to the FICO statements. As part of evaluating controls, we look at entity level controls and then the controls that drive the significant transactions. Did not note any issues with respect to internal controls. We evaluate them as being designed effectively. And we received outstanding cooperation and communication with the corporation throughout the course of the audit. In summary, we will be issuing an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion on the financial statements. Moving on to key considerations, we didn't identify any significant or unusual transactions that were entered into by the corporation this year. We spoke about the accounting pronouncement. And next actionable items, things to wrap up the audit, which we do plan on issuing our opinion next Thursday, the 29th, which would put you in accordance with the requirements of the New York Public Authorities Accountability Act, which required the financial statements to be issued within 90 days of the end of the fiscal year. Throughout the course of the audit, we did meet with several members of management to discuss whether or not they're aware of any instances of fraud or significant non-compliance matters with laws and regulations. If there's anything that you, as those charged with governance, feel that you want to reach out before we issue our opinion, if there's any instances of fraud or non-compliance that are brought to your attention, you can set up a meeting to discuss. But that would be something we would do between now and next Thursday. And that is, again, if you do identify anything or anything has been brought to your attention, just let us know. We are in the process of performing our subsequent events review, so we take a look at any significant transactions that occurs from the end of the fiscal year to the time that which we issue our financial statement opinion, just to see if there's anything that would impact the financial statements, make sure there's proper cutoff with recording of transactions, that they're in the proper period. We're also required to obtain a signed letter of representation from management. So a draft has been provided. So that'll be signed and dated the date of our audit opinion. And then we just have a few wrap up procedures with, in addition to my review, we have an independent review partner just to make sure that we followed our quality standards and there are no significant issues identified. In addition to the audit of the financial statement, we also perform the audit of the grant compliance procedures. That's referred to as the uniform guidance audit. So with respect to the grants that the corporation receives, there's certain compliance requirements. So we're required to audit the compliance. We have not identified any matters and we plan on issuing an unmodified opinion on that audit as well. That'll be issued on the same date as the financial statements. And then there's the lender servicer, referred to as USAP, does a compliance report also to make sure that you're following the compliance requirements for your servicing of loans. We have not identified any issues with respect to that examination. And then lastly, it's the examination on investment compliance. So that's another compliance report. We take a look at ensure that the investments are in compliance with your policies, and we have not identified any issues with respect to that examination as well. So with that, I'll turn over to Rob just to go through and summarize the areas where we placed emphasis on throughout the course of the audit.
Thanks, Lou. Morning, everybody. So page 2 and page 3 highlight those areas of audit emphasis. What I will say is this listing on these pages is not an exhaustive list of all of the areas that are subjected to audit procedures. It is those that represent either the most significant line items on the financial statements or those areas of risk in general. So the 2 topics at the top here, revenue recognition and expense recognition, those are areas that we test historically using a combination of analytical procedures. So using historical patterns to predict current year activity, determine if that's in alignment with our expectations. And as a result of those procedures, we have identified no discrepancies. From a balance sheet perspective, cash equivalents and the underlying investments, as well as mortgage receivables are 2 significant line items and those that we perform an exhaustive level of testing on, including confirmations with third parties such as mortgagees, banks, mutual fund issuing banks, as well as others. Similarly, no issues have been identified as a result of our procedures there, which is consistent with many years in a row, I would say. So moving to page 3 here, Long-term debt is also an area of emphasis. So that's one where we do a significant level of confirmation with third parties as well. No variances or material issues have been identified as a result of those procedures. And then the last three here are really more, I'll call general audit procedures. So consideration of the risk of management override of control. That's an inherent risk that we evaluate at every single entity. Things such as is management telling accountants to book a journal entry or book a balance that is above either their authority or out of line with GAAP compliance. No issues have been identified either with the results of our testing or no issues have been identified indicating that there is a higher risk of management override of controls. Similarly, we evaluate related parties and whether if there are related parties, any transactions with those related parties are executed at an arm's length. That is a consistent approach that we've taken year after year, really from a related party perspective. New York City and others are common counterparties. We also get things such as, you know, whether there are key members of management or the board who have interest in businesses where there's business with HDC and those third parties that ultimately could bring conflict of interest or other scenarios of risk into play. Similarly, no issues have been identified as a result of our procedures, and that is consistent with many years in a row at this point. And then Lou hit the compliance with the uniform guidance, the single audit procedures. The focus there is really on the loan program for monies received related to Hurricane Sandy. The activity related to that is zero in the current year in terms of the loans are outstanding and really just being serviced at this point and awaiting for the terms to end here in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, depending on the loan itself. I'll pause before we move to the appendices and the remaining slides to see if there's any questions on what Lou and I just covered from the overarching executive summary and areas of audit emphasis. I'm not going to go through every single appendix in detail here. We did include a couple just for reference, but we are, so Appendix A is a set of required communications we are required to make as part of our communication to those charged with governance. It includes items such as whether there were changes to our audit strategy as a result of our testing, whether we identified any fraud, non-compliance with laws and illegal acts, any matters related to whether, in our view, HDC has the ability to continue as a going concern, related party transactions, matters that would impact the independence of EY as the auditor of HDC. None of these matters have brought to life anything that would either challenge the results, change the strategy, bring about any compliance issues, or impair our independence. So that is all listed out in Appendix A. But at the end of the day, every single one of those is communicating that the results of our audit indicated nothing of higher risk, nothing of concern, ultimately supporting our qualified opinion, as Lou mentioned. Appendix B, just for reference, is our peer review report. So any public auditor is required every 3 years to go through a review from a peer firm to determine whether our firm's system of quality control is appropriate. We included the most recent report we received in November of 2025 from Grant Thornton. It was not available yet at the time of our fall audit planning meeting. So just for people's reference, we have continued to receive a passing grade on our firm system of quality control. But it is a very auditor focused report. So I don't have to necessarily read it out loud for in detail unless everybody's ready for a nap. And then Appendix C is really something that we wanted to include for kind of future thinking. It's really discussing how EY is continuing to adapt to the evolving technology landscape with things like this artificial intelligence, robotic process automation, but obviously the risks that come with those in cybersecurity and data integration. So we continue to look for opportunities to embed more efficient audit procedures, more efficient digital focused procedures into our audit. I will say Chuck, Musa, and others have been incredibly welcoming to these opportunities and ways to find more efficiency in executing the audit and ultimately less requests for a pile of supporting documentation. So that's the best we could ask for is frankly an open mind to these conversations. But this just kind of highlights some of those investments the firm has been making and where we look for those continued integrations and opportunities. And then, you know, I would say across the board for all of these appendices, I obviously didn't go through them for the sake of time in extreme detail, but Lou and I are available at any time for questions if you want to discuss any of these topics further. The integrations that we're making, you know, again, it's more about efficiency for the audit, but we're happy to demonstrate any of those. And then additionally, I think while we didn't We mentioned there was no issues with fraud, non-compliance, things of that nature. We do say, you know, if there is anyone who feels that they have something they need to communicate to us related to that, obviously for the sake of confidentiality, please don't hesitate to reach out to Lou or I. We are welcoming to have any of those conversations. At this time, though, there is nothing that has been identified through our exhaustive inquiries of management. So.
That concludes our prepared remarks, and be happy to try to address any questions you might have.
This is a retrospective examination, correct? What is your definition of a related party? Is it another city agency or state agency?
It depends upon, in the case here, if you're receiving any funding from the state, then that would be considered a related party.
And if there are any, how about a fellow city agency?
Yes.
And so in the course of your audit, did you examine as to whether or not those transactions that we may have had as between us and other city agencies are all in order?
Yes, sir.
And are you prepared to issue a clean opinion thereon?
On the financial statements, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2025 financial statement?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. I call on Ellen Duffy to present the corporation's fiscal year 2025 annual investment report, including the investment guideline.
Thank you. The New York City Housing Development Corporation is submitting its annual investment report for the corporation and its subsidiaries pursuant to section 2925 of the Public Authorities Law, New York State. The report presents the corporation's investment records for fiscal year 2025. Described by statute, the report includes the investment record of the corporation, investment guidelines as approved by the audit committee members on January 28, 2025, and then ratified by the board members on April 7, 2025. And then the results of the annual independent audit report was just approved by the members. This report also includes descriptive charts on HCC's investments, investing environment, and a counterparty credit risk exposure summary. Realized earnings on investments, as Chuck described, totaled $205.1 million in fiscal year 2025, which is an increase of $44.1 million from fiscal year 2024. This is due mainly to relatively steady reinvestment rates and a greater amount of investment proceeds. The current yield curve environment and changing market conditions are factors to consider in the corporation's ongoing investment strategy. Because of the corporation's commitments, the majority investments must be held for the short term, which provides sufficient liquidity for the corporation. In response to the current interest rate environment, the corporation continues to invest primarily in collateralized demand deposits, certificates of deposit, guaranteed investment contracts, and direct purchases of U.S. Treasury and agency obligations in order to optimize yield. As required by GASB Rule Number 31, corporation has reported a fair value adjustment in its investing portfolio. The corporation reported a net appreciation of $93.2 million for fiscal year 2025. As part of the corporation's investment policies, it looks to invest its bond and corporate-related reserves in securities with the intent to hold the investment to maturity. As a result, any unrealized appreciation or depreciation is only reported as an accounting gain or loss at this time. HTC's funds under management increased approximately 22.3% from fiscal year end 2024 to fiscal year end 2025, from $5.5 billion to $6.7 billion. The corporation had a 15.4% increase in net position over the last year due to an improved fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio, as was described. Consolidated investment income was $205.1 billion for fiscal year 2025. Of this amount, $141.8 million, or 69.1% of the consolidated investment income, was attributable to bond programs and therefore was not available to the corporation. An additional $6.6 million was earned by and retained within REMIC and HAC. The remaining $56.8 million of earnings is pledged to ongoing affordable housing programs of the corporation. HCC manages the funds internally through the cash management division. HCC has not incurred nor paid any fees, commissions, or other charges for investment services. Oversight is provided internally by an investment committee and by various reviews by HCC's credit risk and internal audit units. There are also investment and credit risk reports presented at each meeting of the corporation's audit committee and an annual examination by our external auditors, Ernst & Young. Corporation investment guidelines were last approved by the audit committee members on January 28, 2025, and ratified by the board members on April 7, 2025. There have been no changes to the investment guidelines during fiscal year 2025. On approval by the board members, the report will be submitted to the mayor, both the city and state controllers, as required by the public authorities law. I'll be glad to answer any questions about the 2025 annual invest report or the investment guide. There are no questions. The corporation requests that the members approve the 2025 annual investment report and approve the investment guidelines, which are part of this, this annual investment.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2025 annual investment report, including the investment guidelines?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you. Is there any other business that the members would like to discuss? There being no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.